you for listening to a Midland Free Methodist podcast. We continue our series, Miracle Effect, with this week's message, Exodus.
I am so excited about this morning, what I believe that God wants to accomplish. How many of you, let me ask you a question. How many of you, and it's okay to raise your hand in this, are familiar with what's called the butterfly effect? Familiar with that? Okay. Those of you who aren't, let me explain what the theory is behind this. The theory behind the butterfly effect is that a butterfly somewhere in the world flaps its wings. There's a current involved with that, right? Some wind movement. That little wind movement is picked up by something else, expanded, whatever, and all of a sudden, you know, it could be a month later, all of a sudden there's a tornado in another part of the world because of this small thing that started with a butterfly flapping its wings. This series that we're in with Miracle Effect is oftentimes we think and we look at miracles as an event that takes place that's just about that event or that thing. And so much more often, God wants us to know that there's so much beyond that that is taking place that maybe we don't realize, and the effects that we probably don't realize that God wants us to understand. So we're gonna walk through some things this morning, and I hope and I really trust, really cool first service, and I really trust that God's gonna do the same thing in this service as well. We're gonna talk about the Exodus. And how the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt, and God freed them from that bondage. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. But I got to tell you a quick story. This last week, Lois and I got to go spend some time with Kyle and Christina, which is just like awesome. Those of you who might be a little bit younger in the service, you don't understand this, but when your kids come home, it doesn't matter if they're 3 or 23, you just want to be near them. You just want to be close, right? So we got to be close with our kids this last week. One of the things that we got to do, which was really, really awesome, was we visited this place, and it's called Breakout. And it's a series of buildings. It's actually a series of buildings where you walk into this room. They give you some clues, all right? So we walk into place. The guy instructs us, and we walk in, and we get some clues. And the clues, once we get in the room, the door shuts behind us, and there's a lock on the door. So it's the four of us in this room, and now we got to hunt for clues that somehow lead us back to that door and help us get out. Now, just so you know, they gave us a radio, so if there's a panic state, you know, that we could get out of there. But it was a lot of fun. So we get in the room, and we notice on this one wall, there's this thing. It's got a bunch of M's and L's and V's, and I'm thinking, oh, I don't remember my Roman numerals. What number is it? And so Kyle's in another part of the room. He says, wait a minute. I think I have the cipher code over here. So he gets over there, and he's looking at it. He goes, yeah, an M equals, and he's telling us, an L equals, and Lois, of course, she's the accountant with the pencil. She's like, bit, and she's writing down the numbers and adding them up. Christina is in another part of the room, and she's looking at this desk, and she's feeling around. All of a sudden, she finds this button. She pushes a button, and a drawer pops open. And in this drawer is this case, and it's got a lock on it. So she brings it to the middle of the room, and Lois is looking somewhere else by this time, and she finds another case, and she brings it to the middle of the room. And we end up with three cases in the middle of the room, and now we start finding, with these drawers popping open, and so we start finding numbers. Well, one of the cases has a lock, and two of them have these number locks. So I'm trying to open one of the number locks. I can't get it, and of course what happens is Kyle comes over and he does it right. And the lock opens, and he opens this up, and inside is this like big dowel, and it's got like a B on top of it. And he looks over at the desk, and there's this B on top of the desk. So he goes over and he sets it on top of the B. And so we go back, and we're looking for clues, and we find three more of these, and we set them on the different letters on the desk. No lie, when the fourth one sat down, it was like something from a movie. This door at the end of the room pops open. And I'm like, oh, that's cool, yeah. And so we walk through the door, and we're in there. Now we're looking for more clues. And we get down within 10 minutes left, and this guy comes over the speaker, and he goes, okay, like, I'm really proud of you guys. You're the only team, six teams today, the only team that has not asked for a clue. Would you like one? What truth of the matter was, he could tell that we were just doing a bunch of this. Okay, we didn't know what to do. So he's going to offer us a clue. So he says, did you find the flashlight? We're like, yeah, but we didn't know what it was for. We shut the lights off. We're shining the flashlight around. Nothing, right? I'm like, what good was that, right? It's just to throw us off. He says, there's a hole. Okay. So we start running around, looking in both rooms, and we notice in the room that we were in, the first room we were in, there's this hole, like about 3-inch hole in the ceiling. So I take the flashlight and I shine it up in that hole, and all of a sudden this ping pong ball comes flying out of there. You know, scared us half to death. And I take it, and there's another code. And so we go through and I'm not exaggerating, okay? We get to the door, we figure out where the code is for the door. We get to the door and I'm typing in the thing and I open the lock. 2 seconds left. We get out of the room. Yeah, no lie, 2 seconds. That was like a clapping moment. You missed it. The LaForges are not that bright, all right? So this is like huge, right? We accidentally saw. But he's standing out in the hallway. He's got this big smile on his face. He said, I was just coming to let you out. I didn't think you were going to get it. And so we were so excited. So we broke out of this room. We were. I know I'm stretching here, in bondage, all right? But what a cool thing that was. What we're going to walk through this morning is the Israelites being freed from bondage by God, and how he did that. We're going to learn some lessons from that today. Let me pray over the service just before we start. Dear God, I ask that you would, Holy Spirit, that you would flow through me. I pray that nothing of Gene would be of any value this morning, but that God, you would do what only you can do. Put your finger on things in our hearts. Help us, God, to be aware of what it is you want to accomplish this morning. And we'll give you praise as you do the work in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So what we're going to do is we're going to walk through. There's a bunch of scriptures we're going to walk through up front. And we're going to lay out the story. And then we're going to come back and we're going to apply that to our lives. Can we do that? Is that all right? Yes? Okay. You're thinking, you don't have a choice. I'm going to do it anyway. Sorry, but... So before, if we go back in the Old Testament, we have Jacob and Esau, story of Jacob and Esau. Then Jacob has sons, right? One of the sons is Joseph. Joseph, and many of you remember the story of Joseph and his coat of many colors, right? Technicolor dream coat, right? So Joseph has this coat, and his brothers don't really care for kind of some things he's saying about how special he is to the father, Jacob. So he gets sold off into slavery in Egypt. Now, he gets there, and we won't take a lot of time, but he gets raised up in leadership, goes through a bunch of stuff, but gets raised up in leadership, ends up like the right-hand person in control right there. And during this time, God gives Joseph a lot of wisdom. So during this time, there's 7 years of, man, the crops are just going crazy. And he decides, you know what, we need to put away, we need to save. We need to make sure that we're saving, because there's going to be 7 years, okay, where there's not anything, where there's famine. So God uses him to help Egypt do that. The 7 years of famine come. They've got the grain stored. They're ready for it, all right? But Jacob, Joseph's dad, and his brothers come to Egypt because they need grain. They need food. So they come, and through that series of events, they end up settling outside Egypt in a land called Goshen. It's an area just outside of Egypt. They settle there, and that's where the family begins to grow. Well, the family begins to grow and grow and grow. And it's years later, Jacob's gone, Joseph's gone, the brothers are gone. There's years later, there's all these Israelites outside of Egypt. And Egypt gets concerned. They're going, wait a minute. We could be in trouble here, because if one of our enemies decides to attack us, they could side with the enemy and we'd be in big trouble. There's a ton of them out there, all right? So they decide to actually put them into slavery, into bondage. And they do that, and the people are making bricks and mortar, and it's just, they're just in horrible captivity and bondage to the Egyptians because of the Egyptians' fear. So that's where we're picking up this story, okay? And that's in Exodus where we're at. So if you'll join me, Exodus 1, 11 through 14. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. And they built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter and harsh, labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. So now, in the midst of this, all right, we have, and you'll remember the story of Moses and the bulrushes and how God saves Moses. And he ends up being raised by Pharaoh's daughter. So here we are, we're fast forward. Now here we have Moses, okay, who's going to deliver the people of Israel from bondage, all right? That we've gone through that section, and now we're picking it up again. So now we're to Exodus 3, 8 through 10. This is God talking to Moses. So I've come down to rescue them from the land of the Egyptians, to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way of the Egyptians, how they are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you, Moses, to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Exodus 5, we're going to fast forward a little bit. Exodus 5, 1 and 2. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival or worship me in the wilderness. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. So here we are. Moses comes to Pharaoh and says, listen, let God's people go. Free these people from bondage. And Pharaoh says, no. So then what we have is a period of 10 plagues that take place on Egypt. And Pharaoh has times during these 10 plagues where he's looks like he's going to be willing, but then he backs out, and so God comes forth with another plague. The 10 plagues were, the first one was the water turned to blood, and we won't spend very much time in here. Then there was the plague of the frogs, the plague of the gnats and the lice, the plague of flies, the plague against livestock, where all Egyptian livestock died, the plague of boils, the plague of hail and fire, the plague of locusts, where they ate everything. The plague of darkness, 3 days, no light at all. You couldn't light a candle, there was no light whatsoever. And then last, the death of the firstborn. And that was not only humans, that was also of livestock. So these plagues happen, all right? And Egypt is just riddled. And you can imagine, going through these 10 plagues, just riddled. And so then in Exodus 12, fast forwarding again, Exodus 12, 31 and 32, during the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, up, leave my people, you and the Israelites, go worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said and go. So, okay, he's like, okay, go, get out of here. Go. You've got your freedom. You're freed from bondage. The thing that cracks me up is at the very end of this, and he says, and also bless me. Yeah, that's okay. He's been through some rough times, but that just doesn't, you know, oh, by the way, you can go leave it and have God bless me. Yeah. Exodus 13, 21. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, a pillar of fire to give them light, so they could travel by day or by night. Now, here we have, they're gone, they've left Egypt, and God is guiding them, cloud and a pillar of fire, he's guiding them, all right? Exodus 14, 10 through 12. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Now, let me bring you up to speed where we're at now. Okay, so they've been traveling through the wilderness. Pharaoh changes his mind again, decides, I'm ticked. I'm coming after these people, all right? So he gets his army. They're headed off. The Israelites are coming up to the Red Sea. They turn around. They see the Egyptians chasing them, and this is where we pick it up. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us out into the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you, 'Just leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." So here the Israelites, they turn around, they see the Egyptians, and they go, "Oh, great. That was wonderful. So you delivered us out of bondage in Egypt only so we can die in the middle of this desert. Great plan. That's going to work, right?" Exodus 14, 23 through 28. "The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire in the cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of their chariots so that they had difficulty driving, and the Egyptians said, 'Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen.' Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back into its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The waters flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea, not one of them survived." So the story that we've just gone through, and by the way, again, just for clarity, there are parables that Jesus tells that are stories used to illustrate a truth. This is a truth, okay? This is something that happened. This isn't a nice Bible story. This is something that in history actually happened. And if you follow this, there are a bunch of miracles along the way, right? There's a ton of miracles along the way. And we want to see if we can't learn something from these miracles. So if you've got your worship outlines, looks like this, okay? Grab those, and on the back front, I don't know which side it is, you'll see where we can fill in the blanks. And I want you to work with me as we fill in these blanks. The first one is, God frees us from something. Something is your fill in the blank. God frees us from something. For the Israelites, it was bondage, right, to the Egyptians? Bondage for many years, as Pastor Scott alluded to earlier. It's somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 years. There's some argument that it may have only been 300, but it's somewhere between 300 and 400 years that they were in bondage. So he's freeing them from that. Now, again, let me see if we can draw a picture here. He's freeing them, and we hear the word bondage, and we go, "Oh, bondage," and off we go, right? This is horrible, horrid stuff, all right? They were raising their children in this. Their children were growing up, 400 years, their children's children's children were growing up in bondage. And God was freeing them from that. So the question is, in our lives, there are all sorts of sin, addictions, wrongful desires, abuse, lying, cheating, stealing, attitudes, maybe it's past hurts, thoughts, or even memories. What is it this morning that God wants to free you from? What is it in your life that has held you in bondage? I want you to know something. God is still in the freeing business. That isn't something for Bible times. That isn't something for somebody else. God is in the business of freeing people from bondage. And that freeing people from bondage, whatever it is, it's a miracle. It takes God to accomplish. So what is it that God wants to free you from this morning? Let's look at the second point. The miracles may look different than you expected. I got to tell you this. When I was in my junior year at college, one of the things those of you who have gone away to school or even getting started out, you know, and college is famous for this, I didn't have any money. Right? I needed a haircut. Yep, some of you have guessed it. I found one for free. There was this girl that said she knew how to cut hair. I trusted her. She's out in the middle of a dorm area. She'd been cutting my hair. There were no mirrors. I had no idea what was going on. I got through. I went back to my room. I looked in the mirror and I thought, oh my goodness. I wonder how many weeks it's going to take to fix this. Hair grow quickly. It was one of those things where it didn't look anything like what I was expecting. So miracles sometimes don't look like what we expect. Let's be honest. Do you think the Israelites, when they were freed from bondage, when they ended up in the desert and walking through the desert, do you think that they were thinking, oh, this is what we pictured? Probably not. It probably didn't look like what they thought, but it was part of what God had for them. We have ideas of what it looks like when God shows up. We have ideas of what it looks like when God performs a miracle, and I want to let you know that our ideas aren't always on point. God wants to do the miracles God wants to do. And they may look different than what we think. What is our job? If we want God to perform a miracle, what is our job? To trust him. To trust that he'll perform a miracle. The next blank, next line. Life is a journey. Just as the Israelites were on a journey through the wilderness, so are we. Life is a journey, and part of the miraculous is God walking through the journey with us. Don't miss this. Often we don't see a miracle because we're not looking in the right places. Some of you, and let me ask you a question. Some of you have been through cancer. Some of you have been through some real health concerns. Some of you have been through family problems that you never dreamed that you would go through. Some of you have been through heart issues, other health issues. Let me ask you a question. Does God show up in the journey? And is that miraculous? Yeah. Life is a journey. And that journey is needed. Oftentimes what we want to do is we want to be here. And God, I want you to perform a miracle, and I want to be here. And God says, that's really nice that that's what you want, but I need you to walk that out. And there's a journey, and the miracle can be in that journey. The next point, God is faithful to lead us as we obey him. God is faithful to lead us as we obey him. Although the journey wasn't enjoyable necessarily for the Israelites, God was there to lead them. Remember he led them by the smoke and the fire, right? The cloud. He led them. They didn't know necessarily what the next day held. They knew they were following. They knew who they were following. They didn't know what to expect. They just kept following. They followed as God led. What was their job? To follow as God led. That is our job, to follow as God leads. We don't have to know what tomorrow looks like. Next point. His presence is with us, and he will provide. His presence is with us, and he will provide. As we discussed earlier, one of the most awesome miracles is that God's presence goes with us. Yes, for the Israelites, it was manna. He was providing manna and quail. It wasn't steak, prime rib, Outback, the Bloomin' Onion, making you all hungry. It wasn't that he was providing. He provided what they needed. And in our lives, he does the same. He provides what we need. And again, what does Gene struggle with? Gene thinks he knows what he needs. And God does. His presence is with us, and he will provide. The next point, and this point is huge. You can't miss this point. Because we so often miss this point. And I think some of the whining that went on with the Israelites, I think it's because they missed this point. God frees us from something, and the next point is that God frees us to something. The miracle of the Exodus isn't that God was just freeing them from Egypt. That is not the miracle. The miracle was he was leading them to the promised land. He was freeing them to something. He had an end in mind. And he has an end in mind in your life too. It's really easy to miss this. Because so often when we look at the bondage, the things that tend to, and guys, it can be as simple as an attitude that's got you in bondage. It can be as simple as a thought process that somehow neglects to honor and include God throughout each day. You can be in bondage to so much, and God wants to free you to something. And what we do is we look at it and go, God, just get me out of. And God's going, that's just the beginning. I have something I want to free you to. The effects of God's miracles are eternal. The effects of God's miracles are eternal. When you understand God's heart, his desire and plan to free you from bondage, when you understand that he is guiding and leading, that his miracles may not look like what you think they should, but that his presence is going with you and that he will provide and that he is freeing you to something, you will understand the impact of all miracles is eternal. You've heard us say this before. You'll hear us say this in the future. We do what we can do so God can show up and do what only God can do. We're obedient. We grow in our faith. We put ourselves in a place as much as we can so that God can show up and do what only God can do. So let me ask you this, and this is where we walk through that God is freeing us to something and that the miracles are eternal. But let's just say it's something as silly as a bad attitude. For whatever reason, someone's got just a bad attitude. And God, in the midst of this, and we'll call it a selfish bad attitude. God, in the midst of this selfish bad attitude, begins to convict and does a transformation in this person's life that changes that bad, selfish attitude into a love for others. Would that be a miracle? Would it? Okay. Could it happen? Okay, it could happen. Watch this. This is huge. So he's called us, freeing from bondage, out of this bad, selfish attitude, into a love for others and seeing them as Christ sees them. Okay? Freed from this to this. Now you tell me, what's that person's home look like now? Is there a change in that person's home? Are their kids raised different? Do their kids raise their kids different? What about the neighbor that he witnesses to? Because now he has a love for people. And he begins to witness to that neighbor. And that neighbor comes to know the Lord. And that neighbor's kids become to know Christ. And they, because of their faith, others, do you see results of what God wants to do isn't about you. It's about him freeing you from something to something so he can work in you with something of eternal value. That's huge. And imagine all the different things that hold us in bondage. Imagine what God would do with that eternally, if we would just surrender it to him and allow him to free us from that to what he has for us. Do me a favor. Can you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute? This is a point of honesty. I just need you to be honest with me. If you're here this morning, and you're going, you know what? The Holy Spirit has put his finger on something in my life. There is something that I know I need freedom from. Maybe it's worry. I don't know. All the different things we've talked about, I don't know why worry just came to my mind. But you need freedom from something. Do me a favor. Will you just boldly, just raise your hand. We're not going to do things strange. But just raise your hand and let me know. Let me pray for you. Dear God, you are a God of miracles. You are a God who is still in the freeing business. And God, these people, they've raised their hands. And they've asked to be freed. I ask God that you would. I ask that you would free them. Free them to what it is that you have for them that has eternal value. Free them, God. God, we know that it's you that shows up. It's you that has to show up. And dear God, we celebrate what you've done, but we celebrate, God, what you're going to do. Let me read this scripture over you if I can, please. You've heard us read a portion of this, but I want to read a little bit longer section. It's from Ephesians 3, starting at verse 16. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, I pray that you may have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And it gets to that section that we're so familiar with. Where it says he can do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine. It says, to now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. He is the one freeing from bondage. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you for walking through this with me this morning. I'm excited about what God's going to do as we allow him to do what only he can do. Do me a favor again, one more time. This is part of our stewardship as a church. We feel responsible to do this. We want to do this. If I can just have you bow your heads and close your eyes one more time. If you are here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or maybe you've had a relationship but you've pushed him away, you've decided to take another path, but this morning you're feeling a tug on your heart and you want to accept him as your Lord and Savior. You're wanting to start that journey with Jesus Christ. If that's you this morning, would you just quickly raise your hand, please? Thank you. Thank you. This is the body of Christ. So we want to pray together this prayer to encourage those who raised their hands, those who maybe wanted to raise their hands. So will you repeat this after me, please, everybody? Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins. I ask forgiveness for my sins and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for giving me the gift of eternal life. I want to turn and live a new life with you as my Lord and Savior. thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We celebrate with those who made that decision for Christ. If that was you this morning, we'd love to put this book in your hands. It's just a book on what's next. In my new faith with Christ, you can pick it up here in front, or if you want to, out at the Connect Center outside, you can pick it up out there. If you'd like to pray or discuss anything, we'd love to pray with you. Thank you so much for coming today.